Welcome to the Garden Angelist, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I have a suburban garden measured in square feet.
And I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on several acres out in the country.
We call ourselves Garden Angelists because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening, and we want others to love it, too.
Yes, we do, and we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Dee. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I learned a new term last week.
Oh, what's that new term?
Pod fading.
Is that when you quit recording your podcast?
That's right. Pod fading is when somebody gets all gung-ho, they record for, I don't know, a year or two, and then they stop. But we want to assure our loyal listeners, we are not pod fading on them.
We are not. We are in season three. In fact, this is season three, episode 8, right?
It is. And it is, what is it? Today's Monday, and New Year's Day is Friday.
Right.
So we only got about 4 days left of this year.
Hallelujah.
Which, oh my gosh. Y'all.
This year. 2020. I mean, I can't tell you how many newsletters I've gotten from people saying, wow, I'm so glad this year is gone. And I'm like, yeah, obviously everybody feels pretty much the same.
Exactly. So it'll be the one New Year's Eve that everybody really wants to go out and celebrate and kick this baby to the curb. But we can't, you know, people.
But we can't. We can't go out and celebrate. So that's okay. I'm going to stay home and celebrate. I'm going to cook something yummy. I'm going to have champagne, probably earlier than midnight. And I'm going to go to bed, wake up in 2021.
So you know what we should have done? We have no show notes, so we are totally ad-libbing this. Okay, Dee. So there's certain things you're supposed to do and eat on New Year's Day in order to ensure good luck for the coming year. And so apparently too many people ignored all those things in 2020. So let's see. You got to eat black-eyed peas.
I already got mine in the fridge. They're ready to go.
Some people, corned beef and cabbage is also a lucky food for some people.
Okay. For you all who eat corned beef and cabbage, not on St. Patrick's Day, but on New Year's Day, eat plenty for us.
I also heard that
chocolate coins are a thing where people buy little gold shaped, you know, gold foil chocolate.
Yes.
And they eat those for more money. I'm going to eat my weight in black eyed peas.
I was going to say, sometimes they say if you put a coin in your windowsill inside, it'll attract more money.
Okay. You know, I just want to not attract cooties. That's my big thing this year.
So a lot of people will spend the week, they will be cleaning and like out with the old, in with the new. The other thing is when you get up on New Year's Day, you're supposed to, before your feet hit the floor, say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Okay. I mean, you know, I think maybe we should all pray more, honestly. But I'll say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
I'm supposed to do that on the first day of every month. And then the other thing that's good luck is if you see somebody with red hair on New Year's Day, isn't that some sort of good luck thing?
Well, I have a friend who has red hair, so I could just go see her.
Yeah, or just, you know, Skype with her or whatever and say, I need to see red hair today. I don't know.
Or just go stand in her yard and say, Suzanne, come outside. I need to see your red hair.
So we have probably completely missed, you know, spoken about all these things. They're just little things that I've heard.
Probably have.
So we'll plan out your day. So you get up and you say, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. And then you look for a red-haired person, put some chocolate coins for part of your breakfast, black-eyed peas, corned beef and cabbage. What else?
Okay. I think that's all. That's good.
All right.
Oh, a coin in your window sill.
Yeah, that attracts money.
That one's pretty easy. We can do that one too. So good deal.
All right.
So what are you doing in your garden? Did you go find those terrarium containers or not?
Dee, I did. I know you're really shocked. I found, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, and like a fifth. And I actually did a tiny little YouTube video because every day I'm doing a 3-minute YouTube video and posting it. And I get like 3 views.
Every day?
Every day.
Every day?
Daily update. Dang. It takes takes literally 3 minutes to record it and about 5 minutes to edit it and post it. So in 10 minutes. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I've gotten like 3, 4, sometimes 10 views on these things. But I made a little video of the terrarium containers. So that's all posted out there. I'll put the link.
Okay. If you put a dog in your video, you'll get more.
I don't have
a
dog.
Or a cat.
I don't have a dog or a cat.
I know. You'll have to borrow one. Okay. So you want to hear what I've been up to?
Absolutely.
Garden coaching has taken off this winter. Go figure. All those people that wanted to garden last year that are local, quite a few of them have never gardened before, but some have. And, they noticed that it's not easy to garden here. And then I've got some young people who have been contacting me word of mouth. And I had another one email me this morning. And this, and I'm not teasing her at all, but this is what her email kind of paraphrasing. She said that she thought she was going to try gardening this year, and she thought she would start with a vegetable garden, a greenhouse, and chickens.
Well, considering I've been gardening my whole life and I don't have a greenhouse or chickens, I do feel a bit behind now.
I was like, oh, okay, I think I need to talk to her and set up a date to go over and talk to her,
right?
Because that might be a bit too much to bite off your first, you know, year. And guess where they're from originally?
Indiana.
Yeah, they're used to Indiana. And guess what? Oklahoma's nothing like Indiana. And they've discovered that. And so I'm going to email her back and see when we can meet up. I think that'll be really fun. But that's just one of many. I probably did 12 in December.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, I mean, here in December, most people have kind of buttoned down the hatches.
Hunkered down.
And they're staying inside.
Yeah. Yeah, and this week that's coming up starting today, it's going to be rainy and cold all week in Oklahoma, too. So we will not be able to get together this week, but we've had some pretty good winter weather, and a lot of people are wanting to build raised beds. And so it's good to talk to me now or in January, because then you can figure out what size raised beds you need and such. So
very nice.
Garden coaching is big in Oklahoma.
Very nice.
What are we doing next?
Next, we're going to do a quote, Dee, like we always do.
I knew we were.
I want to be like a sunflower, so that even on the darkest days, I will stand tall and find the sunlight, by that famous person, Unknown.
I love Unknown and Anonymous. They're my favorite.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this. If I could only be a sunflower, that on the darkest days. Wow. Okay, well, everybody needs to be standing tall and finding the sunlight. So this week we are talking about the year of the sunflower, Helianthus annus.
That's right. Our friends at the National Garden Bureau, as we said last week, they have the year of different plants, and this is the year of the sunflower. And so we have talked about sunflowers before. Might be able to find that old podcast. The way I title them these days, we have no hope of ever finding old content, but I might be able to find that one.
You might, because that was a pretty early one where we talked about sunflowers. And I think that every year should be the year of the sunflower, although I know we have to give other flowers their due. But sunflowers are awesome. They're so easy to grow, right?
Generally speaking, yes, they are easy to grow. And some of my sister last summer, the one that's the youngest, they had this whole row of 15 feet tall sunflowers behind their garden. And she swore.
Was it dramatic?
Oh, it was beautiful. She swore they were ones that just came up from seeds that the birds had dropped from their feeders. I was amazed. These were huge.
Nice of those birds to drop them all in a line for them.
Well.
Behind the.
Not. I'm going to clarify. So there was like this 3-foot strip between the fence and the vegetable garden. And she let anything that came up in that strip come up and grow. So these sunflowers were growing in a lot of weeds. I shouldn't say that, but they were. And I told her this late summer, early fall, I said, you must clean all that out or you will, you will never get that all cleaned out. So I hope they did.
And those sunflowers that come up from sunflower seed, usually black oil sunflower seed, they are about 15 feet tall. Because I had one come up a few years ago. My husband wanted to let it grow, so I let it grow. It was at least 15 feet tall, kind of multi-branched. It was a booger to get out. So my suggestion is don't let those grow. Go out and buy some sunflower seed instead, because it'll be easier to get out of the ground when you're done with your sunflower. There's nothing more fun than growing one of those big mammoth sunflowers or the giant sunflowers that come from seed. And then taking the seed heads, when they're done, they naturally kind of tip down. If you go out there, you can see the birds eating the sunflower seeds. Or you can take the heads off and put them on a fence. People do that too. I don't think there's anything more fun, because you've started with one little seed, and you really get to see how things multiply in the garden. One seed makes this big head with tons of seeds, which is part of that Fibonacci sequence. Oh, man.
The Fibonacci sequence.
I said it wrong. Fibonacci. I thought it had an R in it. But anyway, the sequence is, it has a rhythm to it like seashells do. Well, sunflowers have that too. And no, this is not in our notes. We're just doing this part off the cuff. But love sunflowers, love making sunflower houses, a la Sharon Lovejoy. Megan's already talking about making one for Maddie. What else do you want to say about sunflowers?
Well, the other thing I want to say about sunflowers is, if you want something other than that great big yellow sunflower that we all think of when we think of sunflowers, you are in luck, because there are some nice mixes that bring in reds and even an almost creamy white.
Yes.
We're going to link to a couple from Botanical Interest Seeds, the Drop Dead Red Mix, which you really like.
I do. And then Chocolat, which is chocolate, Chocolat sunflowers. And so we're going to link to both of those. Those are two mixes. Also in these mixes, the sunflowers sometimes grow at different heights. So that's something to keep in mind too. Not shockingly different, but maybe you'll have some that are 4 foot tall and some that are 5 feet tall. And then we should talk a little bit about dwarf too.
Yeah, I've grown a dwarf one, which I cannot for the life of me think of what the variety was. And I didn't do like the appropriate research beforehand. But I you know what I'm talking about? They get about 2 feet tall.
Yes. There's several different ones out there that are popular. What else were you going to say about dwarf sunflowers? Or about sunflowers in general?
A lot of them are doubles. And you know, the one I'm thinking of is a double. So you can't hardly see the center. So it's just masses of yellow petals.
Like Sun Gold, I just looked them up. Sun Gold is one of the ones that's dwarf, and it's multi-petaled with no center. Oh, we should also say that sunflowers are really great for the bees, because that disc is a bunch of little flowerettes, and bees love them. Bumblebees love them. Carpenter bees. Hummingbirds. I mean, they're just good for everybody, honestly.
Yes, there's absolutely no reason not to grow sunflowers that I can think of.
I can't think of a single reason.
So we are committed to, once again, adding sunflowers to our gardens this summer, spring.
And if you'd like to try another dwarf variety, there's Teddy Bear. Teddy Bear is short, and it has a lot of petals, too. And according to Johnny Selected Seed, they also have Firecracker and Sunny Smile. And Sunny Smile is really, really small. So there's some other ideas.
Yeah, Teddy Bear was the one I was thinking of as soon as you said that.
Yeah, I think Teddy Bear, the other one I mentioned, has even more petals than Teddy Bear. Teddy Bear has a little bit of a disc in the center, but not much. So,
but I'm going to go old school. I'm just going to grow big, tall sunflowers.
I think this year I'm just going to grow great big yellow ones. I've done the red ones. I've done the ones that have bicolors in the petals. I've done them all. But this year, I'm just really feeling big and yellow.
Yeah.
Happy.
Happy sunflowers. We're going to plant happy sunflowers because it's the year of the sunflower as declared by the National Garden Bureau.
So do you want our next quote?
Sure.
In the depth of winter, I finally learned that there was in me an invincible summer. That's by Albert Camus. And I had to read Albert Camus when I took French in college. So that's beautiful. And we are in the depth of winter, and 2020 has felt like one long day of March.
In some respects, but you know what? We're gardeners, and so I think we are by nature optimists.
We'd have to be.
Exactly, because, you know, we planted bulbs in the fall. We're going to order seeds for this spring. We're constantly looking forward to the growing season.
We are, and when we fail at something, we go on. So we're big believers in nature taking care of us ultimately. And even though nature gave us a big slap upside the head with that virus, we've seen how people have, you know, soldiered on. So that's good. And as we talk about health and eating right, we should talk about our veggie.
Right. Were we talking about health and eating right, says Carol, who just consumed a candy bar before starting this episode?
We were talking about nature taking care of us, but I consider candy bars to be essential. They're an essential food group, chocolate. And I think did you eat a See's candy bar?
No, I ate the dark chocolate from Aldi. It's just delicious.
Oh, well, dark chocolate is really good for you. But because of you, I was going to tell you, I went to See's Candies in the mall and I bought some candy and brought it home. Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to have enabled you in this way. We are going to talk about right now, Dee, right now, and I know you don't want to, you can grow microgreens inside and they are very healthy and good for you.
Yes, they are. That's what I was trying to lead you into before you brought up the candy and distracted me.
Doesn't take much to distract you. So have you grown microgreens, Dee?
No, and I don't want to.
So I have grown microgreens a couple of years ago. Actually, I wrote an article about them, and I thought, well, I should grow these things if I'm going to write about them. And it turns out they are extremely easy to grow. And so you need I'm going to tell you how to do it, Dee.
Tell me how.
You get a shallow dish of some kind. You just can use regular potting soil. You don't have to use seed starting mix. And then you get some seeds. And usually the packets are labeled microgreens, and they can be radish, kale, cabbage, pea sprouts, although you let those grow a little bit bigger. There's all kinds of vegetables, turnips, everything that you can grow the greens. You
spread the mix.
Mesclun mix, yes. You sow the seeds on top of the soil, just kind of tamp them down. And then I would cover that with a piece of plastic or whatever. And then under lights, you keep it watered. In about 10 days, it will have sprouted or germinated and then started to grow the first set of true leaves. And that is the microgreen. And then you cut those off and put them on top of salads and casseroles or anything you want. And they're actually pretty good.
I'm sure they are good. They use them all the time at fancy restaurants. In fact, one fancy restaurant that I've been to, they always have microgreens sitting up on the bar because they think they're cute and pretty, and then they also put them on their salads. I'm not anti-growing microgreens. I just don't want to do it. But I will say this. If you're going to cover those, I do grow a lot of seedlings, and I grow a lot of transplants. So my suggestion is that you use that wrap that is called press and seal. If you don't, you know, or use takeout boxes, because Lord knows we all have lots of takeout boxes now. So use takeout boxes and use the clear lid on top because they seal really nicely. And of course, you take that off as soon as anything sprouts. But press and seal in a pinch works really well too because it doesn't flop around. And you don't even have to seal it all the way around. Just seal it three sides. And then it'll stay. And it's nice. And then you just peel it back when you're ready to peel it back. So are you going to grow microgreens?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to, I'll take pictures to prove it to you. So, because I got this flat. And actually, Botanical Interest sent this to me a couple of years ago because I had ordered some seeds and I put a whole bunch in my cart. And then when I went to check out, something happened and half my seeds disappeared from the cart. So I emailed our friend, the president of Botanical Interest, and I said, hey, my card emptied halfway out. And I told her that I was using the Safari browser, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they got with their web guy and they got it all fixed. And she sent me this really nice wooden flat. And inside is the plastic insert that doesn't have any holes, so it wouldn't cause it to drain through. So it's kind of decorative. And then I found the rectangular, I'll say, they're sort of like peat pots, but they're stronger than peat pots. And six of them fit perfectly. And so I'm going to do one of those. And they're like maybe 6 by 3. I'm going to do one of those about every week or so. And that way I'll have a staggered harvest.
Well, that sounds good, actually.
It does. And I have some lights to put it under. So I'm going to put it under the lights. And you shall see.
I have lights too. And that's we should talk about growing transplants this spring again to help people a little ahead of time. But our suggestion is you definitely have to have lights to grow under. And one more thing about Botanical Interest. No, they did not give us any money for this, but we're really good friends with the people who own it. I mean, with the woman who owns it. And that's what I wanted to say. It is a woman-owned company. And exactly. A lot of people don't know that.
They don't. But Judy Seaborn is the president, and she has done a really nice job. And we spent a lot of time talking to her. And what's really impressive is she hires botanical artists to draw the pictures of all the fruits and vegetables on the seed packets. And then she also, the packaging is just beautiful. When you get it.
Yeah, the packaging's gorgeous. It looks like you're getting a gift in the mail.
It is. So anyway, so microgreens. I'm going to get those started this week.
Okay, you ready for our next quote?
Sure.
To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow, Audrey Hepburn, which is exactly what you were talking about earlier. Because we're gardeners, we're hopeful.
Exactly. So do you like our quotes? I picked them so they were uplifting.
We need uplifting. Yay. It's the end of 2020, so that's uplifting in and of itself.
Yay!
Okay, so now we're going to talk about our bookshelf, our book on the bookshelf, and I do not have this book, so you're going to talk about it, but tell us the title.
The title is Grow Your Own Spices, Harvest Homegrown Ginger, Turmeric, Saffron, Wasabi, Vanilla, Cardamom, and Other Incredible Spices, No Matter Where You Live, by Tasha Greer. And this is really an interesting book, and I haven't read it completely, but I have read enough to know that there are some spices that we both could easily grow, but there's also some spices, like she has information about how the vanilla, I don't want to get your hopes up. You and I are not growing vanilla.
No, I have made vanilla, extract with vanilla beans. But I am not growing vanilla. I can tell you that right now. Nope.
No, but she's got stuff in here about horseradish, garlic, some of the root things you can grow, chicory root, licorice, which would be for temperate climates. And then she also has stuff about lavender as an herb. Because have you ever had lavender lemonade?
I have had lavender lemonade, and I like it a lot. So, yes, it's delicious. And also, people use lavender in cookies, especially shortbread. So I've actually made lavender shortbread before, and it's delicious.
We know and have talked about how to grow lavender, but she talks about how you would grow it and how you would prune it in order to use it as a spice.
Nice. I like that. And as you know, I'm big on lavender, so.
We're not growing cinnamon either.
I'm also not growing wasabi, and I'm not growing turmeric because I hate turmeric. But I love saffron, and you have grown saffron crocus before.
I have grown saffron crocuses, and they're quite easy to grow. The trick is to get them to return reliably every year. And so I was going to try to look through what she wrote about saffron to see if I missed some trick along the way.
That would be interesting, too.
And then also, I'm interested in licorice, because licorice is a flavor that some people like and some people do not like, and I happen to like licorice. Do you like licorice?
No, I don't. But I like anise. which has a licorice flavor to it. I just don't like licorice. I don't like the candy. That, in fact, I dislike it intensely. But I like anise in certain things.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I hate licorice.
You dislike licorice candy?
And plus, it's not gluten-free. So there you go.
I was just going to say most licorices are not gluten-free.
So lucky for me, since I don't like it. This is a cool book. And it'd be fun. You know what? It would be really fun to give this book to someone who's a cook, too.
A cook gardener would love this book, yeah, I would think.
I do, too.
Because it would give him a lot of ideas. Because, you know, anybody can learn how to, like, boil an egg or do basic cooking.
Right.
But I think it takes a certain creativity and an artistry that I don't necessarily have to combine spices in a nice way to make the meal go from like a boiled egg, which I can do, to a gourmet dish.
Yeah, that's true. But I think you're also playing down your cooking ability a little bit. You're a lot better cook than you used to be because you tell me stuff
that
you make.
That is true. But anyway, so Grow Your Own Spices by Tasha Greer. And this is also from Quarto Press. And this book, she finished it right as the pandemic was starting, because she has reference to COVID-19 in the back of the book and sort of her acknowledgments.
Huh.
And so I think given people's interest in improving the food that they cook at home, because none of us eat out in restaurants that much,
no,
this would be a great book, like you said, for a cook slash gardener.
I've cooked more this year than I've cooked since my kids were little. Bitty.
Yeah. I can imagine. I
and that's okay, because I'm a good cook, but I am a little tired of my own cooking. I look forward to the day when I can eat out more. So shall we go on to our dirt?
The dirt. So Dee, I found that the National Garden Bureau has a list of National Day of calendar, so you can keep track of the special days of the year as they relate to gardening. And there's all kinds of these, you know, like National Day of whatever.
Yeah, you set down an example of December 29th, which is the day after we record this, and the day before it's published, is National Pepper Pot Soup Day. I wonder what a pepper pot soup is.
I don't know. I think it's a soup with a lot of pepper in it. And I don't think of it in pepper the spice, just because we talked about spices, but like, you know, bell peppers or something, which does sound like a nasty soup. Anyway, so there are a couple of
sites
that
you could... I'm actually looking it up while you're talking. So it's the soup that won the war. And we do not know what we are talking about at all, about this National Pepper Pot Soup. You want to hear what it is, really? It's fascinating.
I do want to hear.
Okay. So the winter of 1777 to 1778 was brutal. And remember Valley Forge and crossing the Delaware,
yep,
and all that stuff?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah. George Washington on December 29th asked the army chef to prepare a meal that would boost their morale and warm them. The chef rounded up some peppercorns, small bits of meat, tripe, and other ingredients. He called it pepper pot soup, which is also known as Philadelphia pepper pot soup. And so it's called that because of peppercorns. And it looks to me, because I'm looking at the actual, there is no way I'm going to eat honeycomb tripe.
No, I don't even know what it is.
I think it's the stomach, but I'd have to look it up just to be sure. Anyway, it has bacon and onion and celery and leeks. And green bell pepper, which sounds terrible. Beef stock, thyme, marjoram, cloves, red pepper flakes, black pepper, a potato, carrots, margarine. So basically it's a bacon and stomach. Oh, that's nasty.
So the fact that it has bacon probably redeems it a little bit. Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff you can find out if you look up these national days. And there are sites where you can go and register a day. So
yeah,
if you wanted to make, like, I don't know, a particular day, like National Garden Angelus Day or something, some of the sites, they want a lot of money, like $500. And
right,
others, you can just register them for free and they've got some requirements. So you're thinking about that right now when we're going to have National Garden Angelus Day.
There you go. I'm still trying to get over the tripe. But yes, National Garden Angelus Day. Funny, funny, funny.
All right, so we are running over time. We didn't think we had hardly any material today.
And look
at
us.
We got to talk about our garden commission. What is your garden commission?
My garden commission is to keep the plants in my greenhouse watered and keep the mealy bugs at bay. I am having trouble with mealy bugs on one set of plants. If I don't get it under control fast, those plants are going to have to be pitched because those mealy bugs will get all over everything in the greenhouse. Yuck.
Amen. My garden commission is to come up with a plan for each of the terrarium containers that I rounded up. So what's going to go in each one?
Fun. And then we're going to record a little Zoom thing where we do it together and put it on YouTube.
That's right.
Fun.
That's right. Anyway, we want to thank everyone for listening to The Garden Angelus. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode.
And if you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review that helps us get noticed by others.
Yes, and be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites. And if you want to help support us, use the affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate today. Bye until next week.
Bye until next week, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.